Last week, we ended what we have been teaching about the image of Christ. But of course, as you understand, just like the Bible has been divided into chapters and verses and different portions, most of those things are just for ease of reference. Are you getting what I'm saying? In the same manner, when we say we are any one topic and going into the next, in reality, it's the same thing we are still saying. Are you getting my point? You know, we are saying it under different topics just to make it more interesting to flow with. Okay, at the end of the day, what we are trying to arrive at is the fear of God. What we are trying to arrive at is the service of God, that is, by doing the will of God in our lives, we want to learn how to walk in a manner pleasing to God. That's the summary of it. All right, let's get into our message for today. I said we are beginning a new series today, which is titled Creative Power. Now, I told you before, I gave another title, but then I've tried to change the words to what? Creative Power. If there's a message I said we should get then, which is titled, To Rule Over Cities or something like that. And another one, which some of the things I want to share in this series, I've already shared them in there. And if you listen to them, it will really bless you. Now, let me make a few points before we start on the core of the message itself. And the first point I want to make again is for us to understand that the life of a believer is different from the life of the world. Please, you must never forget that thing. The life of a Christian is very different from the life of that person who is not a believer. You've heard me say this before, and I say it again. If somebody tells me that, look, these principles work for even Muslims, I am no longer interested. It's not because it doesn't work. It's because I'm reaching for something higher than that. Because what I'm reaching for, the Bible says, works by faith. You know, he said it has to be by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. Are you getting my point? So if you are going to walk by a faith that is not the faith of Jesus Christ and it will have something work for you, I'm not really angry. I mean, Muslims eat. Are you getting me? They eat carbohydrates, glucose, fats, proteins, minerals, and vitamins. And they do well. And we also do that. It's just that when we gather in church, when we are sitting there around the word of God, I believe that we should be getting something that is beyond that which is common to all mankind. You get the point I'm making. And I think Christians should always reach for that. Anytime people say something, you should realize that your case is literally different. Let me say that again. Your case is what? Literally different. If something happens to the world, Jesus told the disciples, he said, the hearts of men will fail them when they behold the things that are coming upon the earth. He said, but you. I like the word, but you. But you. But you. That is, your case is not the same. He said, under such circumstances, you should lift up your head. Rejoice because your redemption draws near. Are you getting my point? That is, the same thing happens to everybody, but you realize that what is going to come out of your own situation is different from what they are going to experience. That is, the way my pastor said those days, that Joseph was not the only one in prison. Are you getting my point? There were many people in prison. And there were many people who died in prison. And there were many people who were in prison, and they were not there just, that is, was an unjust imprisonment. In fact, you know, just before I came this afternoon, I watched a program on TV that was describing the problems in the American justice system. Don't let me digress too much by talking about that. All right? And then they were showing that there's this new, I think it's the first black attorney general in the city of Dallas. And then the man is practicing a different kind of justice that, listen, it's not a game between the prosecutors and the defense. Who's smarter? Let him win. He says it's about truth. It's about justice. If as a prosecutor you find out that this evidence will show that that man is not guilty, don't hide it. You're not trying to win a case. You are trying to administer justice. Are you getting my point? And the guy has been good. I mean, some of the things they found out, there are people who were in prison for 22 years unjustly because the prosecutors withheld an evidence that they knew would release the man. They wanted to win a case. Are you getting the point? Now, that's just by the way. When I saw it, my heart, I felt very bad. Yeah, you get what I'm saying? Now, but the point I'm making is this. Joseph was not the only person in prison unjustly. With all the technology in America, people go to jail wrongly. But the difference between him and the other people wrongly imprisoned is that he was going to come out as prime minister in Egypt. He was going to be vindicated. The covenant of God upon his father was going to be shown in his life. You are getting my point? So despite the fact that he was in prison, if he had the understanding that we have now because we have studied his life, he will rejoice knowing that his redemption is drawing near. Joseph was not in prison for 2 years. He was not in prison for 3 years. I don't know the exact number of years. I think maybe more like from the time he was sold into slavery till he mounted the throne in Egypt was something close to 13 years. That's the way it works. Let me just use that one to encourage you again. The promises of God are not usually in a hurry to come the way you think they should be. David was anointed king when he was 17. He took over the throne when he was 30. Are you getting the point I'm making? So don't feel like the fact that the promises of God you received many years ago have not yet come to pass. Then you heard wrongly. Then you believed wrongly. Noel Ikeakanam, the pastor of one good church in Asaba there, taught us something many years ago. He told us a story about a man he was encouraging. The man started a church in Benin, and he was helping him. Because the man said he had a great vision. So he gave the man some money to rent a place, buy some chairs, and begin to teach the word of God. And after about a year or two, the man came back to him. After some time anyway, not a very long time, the man came to him and said that this was not what I saw. That in fact, he's closing the place down and he's moving. Now listen to this. This is a mystic. He's moving to Lagos. Why? What is the attraction in Lagos? Because the same word you preach that draws 20 people in Benin, simple by geographical activity, we draw 200 in Lagos. It doesn't mean you are more anointed. Just that there are more people there. And when there are more people, there are more good people and there are more muguns. You know, everything gathered together will swell your number. On Sunday, there are people who go to church. They don't care what they are saying. It is Sunday. We can't be at home. So that man, he decided that, no, he's going that way. So this man said, look, he looked at him and said, this is a mistake. This man didn't understand that God doesn't show you the picture of the process. He shows you the picture of the end. Are you getting my point? You are going somewhere far. Right now, you have to struggle. I like the way John Alexander Dowie said in the letter to his wife. He said, look, all I know is that I'm going somewhere near the mountain, on the mountaintop, but between me and the mountaintop, there's a valley. And that valley has mist covering it. That mist came out from the waters that is in the valley. I have to wade through the water. I have to walk through mist that does not allow me to see far. He said, but one thing I'm sure of is I will never turn back because I know exactly where I'm going. Now, there are problems. There are trials. There are challenges. It was a letter he wrote to his wife. You know, that look, don't let your father discourage you. Because father was telling him her the kind of husband that she married, how irresponsible he is. You hear what I'm ready to say? He's not following the path of every other person. As you know, most of us, our parents would rather us get decent jobs, wake up in the morning, go to the office, you know, report at 8 o'clock, close at 4, you know, get a regular salary, and, you know, wait for pension one day. You know, the last time I was talking to my mom about this, I told my mom, I said, listen, the day of pension, the way you know it, don't pass. So. I said, now you contribute to your own pension. Because there was a discussion about my brother getting a job. He applied for a job in NNPC. And then finally he's working in Celtel. So she was saying that she would have preferred the NNPC job. I said, why? I said, government job. I said, government job. I said, was NITEL not government job until a few years ago? I said, NITEL was government job, wasn't it? I said, I better forget the days of government job. Recently, somebody called me and said, please help so-and-so person look for work. He was laid off some time ago and doesn't have work yet. And I thought to myself, this person he had saying I should help is much older than me. And I said that, they laid him off 2 years ago and he's still hanging around looking for a job. He's still hanging around looking for a job. He has not created a job. In these few years of being laid off, what great opportunity God gave him. He has not used it. Anyway, let's leave that aside. But the point I'm making is that, so a lot of parents are like that because they don't want you to struggle. You know, something I think about parents, I wish I could tell them something. Do you, you see, they think they are doing that of love, but really it's not. You know, once I told you that, my mother and I told you the story then. One day we were discussing. She said, your mates are building houses. I said, how many of my mates are teaching the way of success? Now, I told her simply. Then my wife had not yet delivered. So I said, how many of my mates are having 4 children this year? I said, my mates are building houses. I said, how many of them have 7 books published? How many of them have almost 10 books completed on their computers ready for publishing? My mates are building houses. Let me give you a testimony, which I will use to preach on radio maybe for next week. A few days ago, you know, the new laptop that I use, I didn't know low current used to blow things. Low current, I'm saying. When you see current, NEPA giving you 60 volts, turn off your electronics. They will go dead. Cut the long story short, it blew my converter. I felt very bad. It hurt me deeply. I laid hands on the converter. It didn't wake up immediately, but I said, you will wake up. My Lazarus died for 4 days. You will wake up. So I finally took my converter down to one man who helped me look at it. And cut the long story short, he repaired it. But now, while I was going there, when I was coming down from there, one man drove up to park. He just said, Now listen, I didn't know him from anywhere. I can't remember if he walked in here and I won't recognize him. He just drove in to park beside where I parked. I was coming down from the building. He just saw me. He said, "Pastor Banky, you are a blessing to my family." And that's a greeting. That was good morning. Now, are you getting my point? Listen, I don't know him. We didn't greet each other. I just told him, "Oh, bless you, sir." Entered my car and left. We didn't greet each other. I don't know him. He didn't even say good morning, sir, or anything. He just said, "Oh, Pastor Banky, you are a blessing to my family." That was his good morning to me. On the streets. It was around 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, listen to me. So when my mother said, "Your maids are building houses," I said, "What's my problem? How many of my maids get that kind of greeting in the morning?" No, that is the point. You have to make up your mind what really excites you. Well, how are you counting your life? Do you get the point I'm making? No, I said, look, I'm not in a rat race with anybody. There's a race set before me. That race is different from your race. We run on different tracks. I compete against myself. The Banky of this year has just defeated the Banky of last year. And the one of this year will lose against that one of next year. That's why I'm going. You get the point I'm trying to make? I said, sometimes parents don't understand what they're trying to do. They are helping their children enter into a mediocre life. Listen, you can't give parents any excuse. The violent take it by force. You take the kingdom of God by what? By force. So that I just told my mom, simply say, forget that side. There is a reason why I was born. That's the one I'm running after. I've told you before, blessings in this life, if you want it, ask for it. Don't struggle for it. Wake up in the morning, there is nothing wrong with desiring anything. I'm going to talk in this series on this creative power, on the fact that everything is possible to him that believes. Chika, you know what I found out? Thinking about that. That we think it like this, that everything is possible if you can believe. That is one. But secondly, what he was saying is that the one that believes cannot understand why you think it's impossible. I don't know whether you get my point. He's telling you this can be done. And you say, no, I don't know what's wrong with you. Can't you see? Are you blind? This can be done. Jesus said, that's how it is to the one that believes. We have looked at it as if, look, if you believe, God can do anything for you. No, that is correct. But what Jesus was saying actually is that once a man believes, he cannot see the impossibility in what you are talking about. If he says we are going to build a skyscraper that will have 700 floors, once he believes it, listen, no matter what you say, he just can't understand why you can't see it. And then eventually, now please notice something. He said it's possible. Some of them get discouraged. They don't end up not doing it. But then if the man will set out to do it, Jesus said nobody can stop him. Do you get the point I'm making? And that's just the way life is. Let nobody discourage you. We are going to talk about that. So if you want a blessing in life, no matter how wild, listen, just ask God for it and relax. Let me tell you what God will do. We'll discuss that again. He will use the process of time and instructions in the word to bring your heart to the position of really believing. And once you are fully persuaded, forget it, it will happen. So you wake up in the morning. Listen, you heard me say this before. People say, you go to America, go to England, you see life there, you don't want to come back. I said, no, that's not the way it is with me. Mornings are whatever can happen there can happen anywhere. Therefore, I told myself, if I was living in America, listen to this, the kind of car I would have driven, I have made up my mind before God I would drive in Nigeria. Because the same God is rich unto all that call upon him. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. I've just made up my mind about it. Because then I told one of my friends, I said, look, if I was living in Houston with you guys, I would drive this and drive this. Then after I said it, I said, so Banky, if you're not living in Houston, it can't be done. I said, Lord, I'm very sorry. So I made up my mind instantly. Wherever I am, this is what, and how are you going to get it? Nothing. I just get that in my house. The same way I would have gotten it there, I'll get it here. I'll get on my knees and ask God for his blessing. Jabez looked and said, oh, that you will bless me indeed. And the Lord answered his prayers. I noticed that Rebecca did not bear a child for 20 years after she married Isaac. At the end of 20 years, the Bible said that Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake, and she conceived. I said, Brother Isaac, it took you 20 years to get that revelation. Good. But I have learned it from your life now. I will learn it early. Do you understand my point? Listen, by my prayer and blessing, I made my wife a billionaire. Look, listen. That's why, for those of you who might be interested in knowing, my wife has delivered a child every year for the last 3 years. It's funny, but let me tell you, it's a fact. Someone said, why? I said, yeah, because she's in a hurry. Let's get over with so we can move into a different realm. We won't spend the whole of life raising children. These early stages, relax at home, raise children. When they are going beyond a particular level, that blessing with which I blessed you from the beginning will begin to manifest. I told her you will give a billion naira from your business to Kingdom World Ministries. And people who give a billion don't have just a billion. It's poor people that give with those might. Rich people give out of their abundance. I get my point. It's when you are struggling that you give 50 naira and it's your last 50 naira. When a rich man gives, he gives a billion, he has a billion in his pocket. Look, that's what the Bible says. You will super abound unto all liberality. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Listen, that's everything the Bible says is possible. Listen, one of my friends said something once. He had an issue when we had to pray about it. He said, listen, as far as it's concerned, it is settled. The only prayer point is asking us to pray for him every day is that pray that my faith will not fail. He said, once my faith doesn't fail, I know I have no problem. I got the revelation from that also. In life, make sure your faith does not fail. Be present at the teaching of the word of God so that your faith does not fail. And believe this. Hear me. That's why you are a believer. Listen, that is why you are what? A believer. Because there is a power, Paul explained, that works towards those that believe. One of my friends shared something with me some time ago, I think from Psalm 94. A prayer that David prayed. That he said, show us your mercy early. I was sharing with you the other day, Chike. I said, my message has gone to another level. That it's not just God, one day you will bless us. I said, no, early. Are you getting my point? That is, get ready, brethren. Something indeed is about to happen. I believe it. I believe it absolutely. I believe it. Because the natural things look like it. The Bible said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was like a dream. If it follows the natural progression of things, like what my friend would say, without divine intervention, then it would not have been like a dream. It would not have been like a dream. I mean, have you ever slept? I mean, like maybe like you entered a car and after 4 hours you go to Benin. He says like a dream. What's the dream? In fact, it should be like a dream that I didn't get there to 1 hour ago. All the ghosts and bad old nature. I made you get there in 4 hours. Should have done it in 3 hours. Because the natural progression of things showed you that this is the time you will get there. Are you getting my point? But if like Philip, you left the Ethiopian eunuch and the spirit carries you to Azotus, it will be like a dream. Do you get my point? Listen, when God will turn again your captivity, it will indeed be like a dream. You see, there are things I've been teaching. Please, if you have not been around, please try and get some of those messages. If you have not listened to some of the things we've been teaching, please get the messages. Because some of the problems with people is that they ask questions like, how can these things be? Therefore, they refuse to believe. But you see, if you ask that kind of question with a sincere heart, sometimes God will oblige you an explanation. Mary asked the question, and the angel gave her an explanation. He said, don't worry about that. What happens is that, you see, at the beginning, now I'm stretching the explanation, all right, just to help you understand what the angel told Mary. He said, remember that in the beginning, the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the waters. And then God said, that same Spirit would overshadow you. The same power that created at the beginning will create again inside you. Mary said, in that case, let it be unto me according to thy word. Are you getting my point? Because I didn't understand what you were saying before. Now I get the point. What am I trying to explain? That is, we have explained again and again that sometimes people say, how will it happen? Listen, there's nobody in life. Go and read Richard Branson's story. I've used to teach a number of times. Apart from most of those Americans, nobody, big man name you know. These guys of Google, the two boys, all right? They are men now, right? Boys that became men. When they started also, they didn't have money. Are you getting the point I'm making? They explained to the guy who owns Yahoo. The guy gave them a check for $100,000 and walked away. Said, this thing looks like a nice idea. Go and spend the money working on it. Do you get my point? That is, God sent men to help them. And what I'm saying is that when your time for blessing and manifestation comes, God will also send people to help you. And listen, you don't need to network. You don't need to beg people. Please help me. Are you getting my point? The time will come, people will... Do you understand the point I'm making? Listen, you don't need to beg men. When your time comes, the Bible says the king sent for him and loosed him. Oh, I just feel like saying this again. Because people have this mentality. Because they don't realize that their case is different. He said, your opportunity, you have to go to Lagos. Opportunity, you have to go to Port Harcourt. Opportunity, you have to go to Abuja. Opportunity. I said, where was David the day they anointed him king? Please get my point. Where was he? When they even got to his father's house, he wasn't there. Number one, his father was not living in the big city. When they got to his father's house, he was not even around. When they called everybody not around, they did not even call him. But because blessings have names, blessings don't move at random. You don't throw dice with blessings. Do you get the point? Because of that, Samuel said, no, the guy is not yet around. That oil, it was mixed and the bottle labeled David. Samuel couldn't pour it until David came. Do you understand my point? That means if David was in Abakiliki, Samuel would have had to travel to Abakiliki and go and say, look, David, where are you? Please get the point I'm making. You don't need, you know, this one. That's the opportunity is you have to go to Lagos. Listen, if your business takes you to Lagos, please, by all means, go to Lagos. Are you getting my point? But don't ever imagine that breakthrough will come because you went to Lagos. Not at all. Not at all. It will come because God says your time has what? Come. Please, I hope you get the point I'm making this evening. That's the thing with Christians. And you must understand this. Look, I preached a message and I wrote into a book also on what do you believe. And what I call the book is The Believer. Then listen, a lot of people call themselves believers. But they don't believe anything. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ died. If you know who believed that on this earth, you'll be surprised. I believe he rose again. The Bible says that faith is a substance of things hoped for. That is, you have an expectation. The reason why you have an expectation is that the conviction of things not seen. All these ones we have said are the things not seen. They are not expectations. Jesus died 2,000 years ago. But a man that has faith has an expectation. That is, faith tells him that something like this will happen. It's not the one that has happened. So if your faith is not moving you towards something that will happen, then you don't believe anything. You are a Muslim. You are a Hindu. Are you getting my point? You are a Guru Maharaji. In fact, even them, they have more hope than a lot of Christians. Do you know that?
Yes.
They go praying, asking for something. Get my point? The Bible says faith has an expectation. And what marks you out, no, this is a fact. Your case, I said, is different. That is what draws everybody back and puts them in limitation, making them think. And of course, becomes reality because they think like that they can never amount to anything. He said it's not the case with the believer. Are you getting my point? I'm going to begin to speak to you, like I said, about creative power. As we see it, you will see that what the Spirit of God is doing is first creating things in your heart. And once he creates it inside your heart, listen, then you will utter words and the earth will respond. Do you get my point? When God said, let there be light, I've said it 10,000 times by now. Oh, not up to that, literally, but so many times. It did not speak English. It did not speak Hebrew. Because there was nobody there to hear it. But he uttered something that was inside his heart. And peradventure were there to hear it. Maybe all would have just heard this. But what matters is that utterance carried a picture. Are you getting my point? It carried a spirit that was inside him. That's why he could say it was good. Because it was good means I'm comparing it to something that I know already. Do you get my point? So he looked and said, this is good. Which means he had a reference. God doesn't make discoveries, I've told you. He doesn't make discoveries. He said, light be. And then when he saw the light, he said, yes, it is good. That is, as I had it in my heart, that's exactly how it has manifested naturally. So he said, it is good. Every time he said something and it happened like that, he said, it is good. Are you getting my point? We need to understand that. So that's the foundation of what we're talking about. So let me first explain that for us to understand that, listen, you are different as a believer and you must expect things to happen to you differently. I'm from Ondo State. All right? I'm not from Enugu at all. At all, at all, at all. When I came to Enugu, people thought that, okay, your wife must be. They thought my wife was Ifeoma. My wife is not Ifeoma, she's Ufoma. It's a world of difference. Ifeoma is an Igbo name. Ifeoma is an Urobo name. So that explanation escaped them again. Say, why did this man come to Enugu? Let us find out. You were transferred by who? You never hear Victor Waifa preach. He said, Oba no the go transfer. Not Victor Waifa, I think it's Unamre Joseph, one guy in Benin. He said, Oba no the go transfer. Anyway, by the way, university lecturers don't go on transfer. So I was not transferred. Because once you see a typical Yoruba man around, he has to fulfill all of this, one of these criteria. Okay, so NYSC. By the time I came to Enugu, I was exactly, I think, 6 years or 7 years post-NYSC. Ah. So how did you get here? I give two different answers, depending on your level of understanding. So there are levels of accuracy. So if you're a man of shallow understanding, I say, you see, you know, life, you know, a man can go anywhere. So it was where the door opened, and then I just came, you know, and I just saw a need, and I just came. But if you have real understanding, say, how did you get here? I said, listen, my friend, so is he that is born of the Spirit. That is, the wind blew it. I said, God ordered my steps here that I knew long ago that I will minister the gospel. And while I was praying and watching and seeing the things happening, I saw God order my steps. I can give you the details if we have the time. Down to Enugu. That I am here on assignment. When I wanted to start preaching on radio, first time I went to go and check the prices on Cosmo FM, all of them. When I saw the bill, and Benin was offering me almost half of that, I told my friend, go and negotiate for time in Benin. One of the radio stations will start in Benin. So it was because of money. Then around that time, the Spirit of God talked to me again by many ways. And I realized that, number one, you don't limit God because of money. Don't. And number two, God says simply, you shall be my witnesses, first in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. I said, how should I jump away from Judea and go and start preaching in Jerusalem, start preaching in Samaria? I said, it's not good. So let us start in Jerusalem. Since I live here, this is my Jerusalem. Somebody asked me recently, I said, when we start TV, we'll go start in Benin. He said, why Benin? I said, because we have been in Jerusalem for a while. Now I have to move to the next level. That time I said, it's not about money. It's more about reach. You get my point? We're covering here with way of success, all right? And then after that, let's start the TV somewhere else. As a believer, literally your case is different and you must expect great things. Are you getting my point? You are not limited by circumstances, but God has placed inside you the creative power. Now there's a scripture I read all the time. Maybe we should start from there today. The one I wanted to use is slightly different, but let me start from there. It wasn't the one I planned for, but it will help us. The book of Philippians chapter 3. I won't read everything. It's a verse I'm going to sow. Let me quickly just jump down to that. Remember what Paul said? He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He was telling them, beware of dogs, beware of the false circumcision. We have the true circumcision. They now say, if anybody had anything to boast in, I had something great to boast in because of my heritage as a Jew, not just as a Jew, but as a zealous one, zealous for the law of the fathers. Now, in answer, but all these things, down to verse 7, it said, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss. Philippians chapter 3. He said, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Now, this is my emphasis, verse 10, that I might know him. This is where it was going. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, 11, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Let me just stop there. Paul was explaining something here, that he was going for a goal, that there was something he was aiming for. He said, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I explained some that this is not just about heaven, getting to heaven and having a crown. Now, that is good. That is great. But that on this earth, there is a goal that people are supposed to attain to. And that is what the Bible calls equality with God. And that is what Jesus represented. What are you talking about? I'm saying being found in exact likeness with the image of Christ Jesus. Are you getting the point I'm making here? That is what Paul called, that's what Paul was explaining that God called him to. And God called everybody to. That we should get to a point where to distinguish between Christ Jesus and us will be impossible. That every trait that is found inside him will be found in us. Are you getting the point? And that's what you are supposed to strive towards. Because in verse 12, he said, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. That is, he was explaining to the people that it is possible for you to obtain it on the earth. Because if it was not possible, he would not be explaining to people before he died that he has not yet obtained it. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That is, we are still alive and I'm going for something. But this point I want you to bring out, I want you to understand from here, which I want to bring out, that in attaining to that, what he said you will experience is what he calls the power of his resurrection. Do you get the point? Now, when I talk about the resurrection from the dead, I don't believe we're just talking about dying and then waking up again. Because, think about it, Paul taught a lot about the fact that we will not all die, but we'll all be changed. And he was talking to all believers. He was explaining that everyone that died will be raised up again one day. He wasn't striving so that one day when he will die, he will be raised up. Because he had taught again and again that everybody will experience that. It doesn't take any special effort on your part. Even the wicked man. One day, he will rise up, the Bible says, for judgment, condemnation. Are you getting the point I'm making? So what was he trying to explain? He was saying that there is a power, now get my point, which raises the dead. And that it is possible for somebody to walk in life in that power, which walks above death. Do you follow the point I'm making? That is, there is what is called the power of Christ's resurrection. And that's what Paul was explaining, that's what he was aiming for. That was what he referred to as the resurrection from the dead. Listen, he wasn't saying that, look, let me walk so that one day I will rise up when I die. He preached that everybody would. Am I confusing you? So that's why he was calling the resurrection from the dead. That is the power of the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Are you getting the point? Which is said that you will experience, that you will experience this as you walk up in life towards that image of Christ Jesus. I said this to you before. Listen, when God said concerning Jesus Christ, that this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He wasn't saying this is my beloved son that I conceived of the Holy Spirit, therefore I love him so much. He was saying, this is my beloved son whom I have tried, whom I have tested, who I can trust to represent me perfectly on the earth. Do you get my point? We used to think, and which was the excuse a lot of us had for not walking up to certain levels in life, up to certain standards. We thought that, see, Jesus is Jesus, you know, he was God from the beginning. He only laid down his glory. Lay down his glory is not only. Are you getting my point? Laying down glory is not only. I saw a movie long ago, a comedy called Life Stinks. Two billionaires had a bet. One told the other one that you cannot last in the slums. Because one of the billionaires was born of wealthy parents. He grew up in good homes. The other one was born of very poor parents and he grew up in the slums. So he dared the rich boy. You know what I mean? That you can't survive 30 days in the slum. That guy said, 30 days, he don't know me. So they had a bet. And the guy went into the slums and laid aside his glory. Now, what I'm going to explain to you is that he didn't find a place to sleep. Laying aside your glory is not a joke. He went somewhere bragging to somebody that, you know, I'm a very rich man. Just give me a place to sleep. I'll give you $10,000 at the end of 1 month. The man said, give me $1.50. I'll give you a place to sleep. Forget it's your $10,000 at the end of 1 month. He said, I'm a very rich man. The guy said, I'm the husband of Queen Elizabeth. Come on, give me money. That is, laying aside your glory is not a joke at all. When you lay aside your glory, you become incapacitated. That is, one day, two hoodlums beat him. They almost killed him. They didn't know he was a billionaire. They were beating. Why? He laid aside his glory. So, the Jesus laying aside his glory is not an only thing. When he finished laying aside his glory, he started asking questions. He sat down, they were talking, he was asking them, please, so what about this? And what about this? He didn't know again. He said, how long has this boy been sick? You know why he asked? He did not know. He told Martha, where have you laid him? You know why he asked? He did not know. So don't just think that, you know, Jesus Christ was not a superstar by birth at all. The Bible said that he became like his brethren in everything, in ignorance, in powerlessness. All those stories you heard when you were children, that when he used to play by, you know, we used to make sand castles when we were children. You know, you dig your foot inside sand and then heap it on it and then remove it. It becomes a small house. He told us a story that when Jesus did his own, when he was a child, birds began to fly out of his own. Listen, my friend, that's a lie. The same way your own collapsed, his own collapsed. Do you understand my point? The difference between him and the other people was that God being his father, God taught him and trained him. You say, what am I talking about? The same way God gave instructions to Adam, the first man. Are you getting my point? In the same manner he gave instructions to Jesus Christ, the last Adam. The first Adam disobeyed, this one did not. That's the difference. Because he was his father, so he was literally the son of God in that regard. Are you getting my point? So the father began to teach him, instructed him on what to do and what not to do, what kind of spirit to have and the kind of spirit not to have. And having been tested after learning, God said, yes, good boy, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. God used that expression talking to Jews because they understood the principle behind it. Are you getting the point? Therefore, God now that was the time God committed all judgment to the son. It wasn't like they was born. God just said, anybody that offends this boy, if you just cuss like this, you're in trouble. No. It was a product of being tested. Are you getting my point? And being tried. When he passed, when we're talking about the image of Christ, remember what I explained? That he went to the wilderness and was tempted of the devil. Take these stones, turn them to bread. And he said, no, I cannot do such thing. Because it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Jump down. Everybody will know that you are the Babake. That shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Bow down and worship me. It is written. You know? So we say, three powerful temptations. And he came out and he was ready. That's a lie. Listen to me. That is what? A lie. Those temptations were the final. They were not the only. They were what? The final. It's like exam. Forget the fact that schools are overcrowded now. They don't do things properly. Where things work well. One day my student was telling me that this test is too close. The notice is too short. I said, continuous assessment? The lecturer owes you no notice. Where things work properly, the lecturer walks into class and just maybe he has about 40 students. Okay, just distribute paper. Everybody sit down, 15 minutes. Please answer those questions. At the end of 15 minutes, he collects it, puts it down, and teaches the lecture for the day. It's called continuous assessment. And in most faculties of universities, it carries close to 60%. The final exam is just maybe like 40. So it is in the realm of the spirit. All those three you heard about, they were the final. Jesus had been tempted since God started training him many times. Stones to bread. It may not have been stones. It may have been snails to suya. You know what I mean? So turn these sticks to something. It's not just stones. All kinds of temptations have been coming up. God just gave that one to us as a summary that we might have a glimpse out what his life was like. Because the Bible testified that he in the days of his flesh, all right, cried out to God with what? Much tears. He said he was hurt because he feared. Get my point? He was tempted for a very long time. As a result of that, he attained a particular position. That's why I said this to you again and again. Let me say it again. Every little thing in life is a test. As you are hearing the word, be careful that you don't disobey it. Don't wait for the day or one day God will just come and say, are you ready? Say for what? Your temptation. We are going to the wilderness. He said, yes, I'm coming. Let me go and wear my clothes. Then you now go and say, please, I'm coming. Wait, don't be in a hurry. So let me arm myself for 1 hour. No, it's not like that. is an ongoing thing. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, having been tempted, then the day came in which God said, this is my beloved son. He has passed all the tests. I certify him as fit to represent me on the earth. Then he anointed him with power. Do you get the point? And Paul said that that is the kind of goal that every believer should have. Are you getting my point? Please bear that one in mind. The power of his resurrection. My emphasis there is the word power. Now, why am I saying power and resurrection now? Because, you see, I went to preach somewhere in Abakalik yesterday, and I was supposed to talk about restoring the old waste places. And I asked them a question, that why do you think the places were waste in the first place? Are you getting my point? They were good. Then they became waste. Are you getting me? So what they are going to now experience is resurrection. Do you follow my point? Restoration is therefore what? Resurrection. That is, you need power to do that restoration. That's what I'm trying to talk about. It's not just resurrection now, but what? Restoration of that which was good. Are you following me? Are you following the point I'm making? Now, so, as a believer, you need that power. That's what we're talking about. To create, recreate things for God on the earth. That's why we're talking about creative power. Do you hear what I said? Creative what? Power. Please, let me emphasize this before I leave this particular segment, what I'm saying. That with the believer, things are different. Don't forget that. And the reason is because there is a power working on his side, which is called what? The power of his resurrection. And he lays hold of that power as it becomes conformed with the image of Christ in life. Don't forget that. The image, we discussed this. If you're not around, please get this series. Six CDs, six messages, all right? Now, we discussed that, listen, this is the way it works. As you grow up to the image of Christ, what is happening is that the image is not outward. You understand that point? It's what? Inward. And it's in simple things like attitudes, your motivation. Why do you do the things that you do? Because Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, he said, let this mind, my Bible New American says, let this attitude be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Do you get the point? So, and Paul explained further down that there are many areas of life. He said, if in any area you have a different attitude, God revealed that to you. That is, as you convert each area of your life to the attitude of Christ, then you are becoming more conformed to the image of Christ. You get that point? And as you become more conformed, listen, you are laying hold of that power of what is resurrection. So that God can say simply, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Then he gives you that power to administer. That's the point. It's an administrative thing. That is, he gives it to you to hold. Like Jesus said, the Father does not judge any man, but he has committed all judgment to the hand of the Son. So if God decides that he's going to restore maybe Nigerian judicial system, or, no power has been an issue in the last few days. So, power sector. And he takes one of his sons in whom he's well pleased, and he gives him the power of resurrection. The man will walk into the power sector, and that's it. He starts working wonders. Do you get the point? Like a Joseph walks into a land that famine is about to come. I wrote a mail to some of the directors of as a company that's my alumni fellowship, the individual has in there started. I wrote a mail a few days ago. I prayed a prayer that don't forget, this is a spiritual thing. You're not fighting like an average person. Your kind of prayer should be asking for the spirit of Joseph that knows where the stock market is going. Do you get my point? You can't get me. Somebody was telling me recently that a friend of his dealing in stock. He has made so much money. I said, don't get carried away. Either you are blessed or you are not blessed. If you are not blessed, you will enter there by the time you are coming out. You get my point? I mean, when Lot came out of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know how broke he was. You are getting what I'm saying? So please, don't be fooled. If you are not a blessed person, stop running after what blessed people have done. You are getting my point? So I said, listen, guys, that's what you need, the spirit of Joseph, which will just... They will just have a dream, and dreams come in different ways. There are dreams that come while you are sleeping. There are some that come while you are wide awake. Some come on pages of newspapers that most people can't interpret what is printed. You follow what I mean? And from those dreams, you will decode where this stock market is going. So while everybody is buying and buying, you're selling and selling. By the time they finish, everything dies down to zero. You start buying and buying. Then when it wakes up again, they're all poor. You are still very rich. That is the power of blessedness. You are getting the point I'm making. Like I said earlier, believers, you expect something different. I don't have time to say this again, to talk, tell those stories again. Go and read Demos Shakarian and see how God lifted him to becoming a multi-millionaire dairy farmer. Please go and read the story. The richest, the happiest people on earth. The story of Demos Shakarian, the founder of Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. Go and read the story. You get the point I'm trying to make. Don't ever forget that. As a believer, you need, I mean, no, not like you need. That is what you are supposed to work with. That power of God which makes you perform above that which is normal. I just can't seem to leave this. I said something before. You heard me say it. The world, you know, we said the world works. I said the world works. When I was preaching yesterday, I told them that, you know, they wrote in their bulletin, or what do you call it, their booklet for their conference. They wrote my profile. Dr. Bankole Olushina, motivational speaker. I said that's an insult to my anointing. And I told them, I said, all of you take your books, cancel it. I am not a motivational speaker. I said it's an insult. If you are motivated by my teaching, God bless you. But I am a teacher of the word of God. I am not a motivational speaker. People misunderstand things because you were motivated when I spoke. There are people that were condemned. You don't know. I said there were people that were condemned. I said, please, oh, don't make that mistake. Everybody laughed. I said, but please take care of the parents. Cancel it. This man is a teacher of the word of God, not a motivational speaker. I said, because most motivated people failed. It's just that you won't read their story. Will you buy a book that says how I failed in life? No, will you buy it? You buy the ones in which the man told you how he succeeded. Which the Bible said he does not know how. So I don't know, look, I'm not a motivational speaker at all. I teach the word of God. If he motivates you, God bless you. But some people are being condemned as I'm speaking. Why did I say that? This is my reason for saying it. Because it is not motivation. Get up. Go. You can do it. Listen to me. A man who can't do it, can't do it. No matter how much you tell him, he can do it. The Bible said they have healed the heart of the daughters of my people slightly by saying peace, peace when there is no peace. In 2 years, the yoke will be broken. Jeremiah said, relax. 70 years, you will be inside here. You are not going anywhere. The prophet will go, oh, tear the shirt. Bwah! He said, thus says the Lord, as I have torn this shirt, so will your bondage be torn away. The one he did it right was he took a yoke. You know what they call a yoke? Wooden yoke. Put it on his neck and took it from somewhere and broke it. God said through Jeremiah, you have broken the yokes of wood. I will make yokes of iron. What am I going to explain? God said, you have healed the heart of my daughters slightly by saying. Now notice the word saying. When you say, people's hearts get healed. So when you said, peace, peace. They were healed slightly. But Jeremiah said, unfortunately, there was no peace. Therefore, the wound healed superficially, but it was festering deep inside. By the time it manifested, you people were dead. So let me tell you, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Build houses, buy land, plant vineyards, marry wives, give out your children in marriage. Because 70 years, all of you will stay here. What am I going to explain? A motivational speaker can tell you peace, peace, when there is no peace. I preach truth. Are you getting my point? I preach truth. If I say peace, it is because there is peace. No matter how good it will make you feel, one prayer I pray all the time is, say, God, please make sure I am not a performer. Listen, I'm being honest with you. There are places they will invite me to come and preach, and I will stylishly say no, because the people are expecting performance. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. I'm not explaining something here. Why I say I'm not a motivational speaker. If I say peace, it is because what? There is peace. Because sometimes people hear peace, peace, and they rush, and there is no peace. So the man strives. He reads all the books, 75 keys to effectual business. At the end of the day, his own business is ineffective. He goes through the checklist. He has performed everything therein. You should have just read Solomon that says that the race is not to the swift. Bread is not to the discerning. That is, no matter the number of keys you know, you may be poor. You are getting the point I'm making?
It is the blessing of God that makes rich. That's what I preach. I said, don't ever, ever refer to me as a motivational speaker. If you are motivated, good for you. What is motivating you is because I'm saying things that are true. One of the things I preached to them yesterday, I said, listen, there's a Bible calls the season of restoration, all right, in which people can prolong the days of adversity beyond when the season is supposed to start. That God will say concerning Nebuchadnezzar, that Luis, I sent him as a weapon of my wrath, yet he carried it beyond the level. Sometimes when God is ready to deliver people, are you getting my point? They are not yet ready for the deliverance. So the time for restoration has come, but they are still walking around as slaves. That's why I appear like a motivational speaker. Do you follow the point I'm making? But as a believer in Christ Jesus, this is what I'm making. Motivational speaking may appear to work for some people, but that's not what you need as a believer. Nobody preached motivation to Abraham. No, get to what I'm saying. Jabez only heard words of discouragement. And then they call him, Jabez. You know what it means? Sorrow, come. Sorrow, please. Excuse me, Mr. Sorrow, don't go yet. Want to invite to the pulpit this evening to speak to us? Mr. Sorrow, put out your hands together. Jam your hands together for Mr. Sorrow. Jabez said, which kind of wahala is this? He now went into his room and prayed, oh, that you will bless me indeed. You get what I mean? That as a believer, your own, listen, some people have been blessed by motivational speaking. I'm not saying it doesn't work. That's what I mean by the world works. But there is a power of his resurrection, which in the midst of negative words, do you get my point? Which after walking to 10 banks and being discouraged, which after starting 3 businesses and they're all collapsing, God said, do you know why I allow them to collapse? Because it's only then you will understand the meaning of resurrection. Do you get my point? That though your outward man is perishing, Paul said, yet from inside it is being renewed day by day. He said, even though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. He said, if the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit will give life to your mortal business. Do you understand the point I'm making? And say, no. Nigeria has too many problems. He said, there is a spirit. That's what I'm trying to preach to believers. There is a spirit that is called the power of his resurrection, which Paul said, if it dwells in you, it will give life. Listen, if you failed in the past, it is because God said, so that now at least you can understand the power of resurrection. I like one thing that I've heard many people say, and I say it also, that Nigeria is in this season, it's an exciting place to live in. Even the foreign preachers have said that when they go to Africa, that power they flow. You know, in America, you pray for 50 blind before one will see. You say, one just get to Africa like this. All the blind eyes will pop open. You understand the point I'm making? That is, we expect the manifestation of the power of God as Christians. We expect it, and that's what makes us different. Are you getting my point? Listen, motivational books are good, but they are just like vitamin. A dead man is a dead man. He cannot benefit from any infusion of vitamin B, cotriamine, riboflavin, you know, nicotinamide. Anything you give him is dead. You get the point? Motivational speech is vitamin. You need life first before the vitamin can help you. And what I am preaching is what? Life. Thank you. So creative power is my message. Today being the introduction. Now, where do we start from? You say, what do I mean start? Yes. We'll be introducing so far. Yeah, you know, it's going to run for a while. So this is our introduction up till now. All right. Now, let me first start by explaining a principle, which in that message, I think, to rule over cities. That was what I taught in that message, titled To Rule Over Cities. Open your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 19. If you have listened to that message, what I'm going to say now won't be so new to you, apart from the new thing that the Spirit will throw into my mouth as I speak. And I'll read from verse 11. This is a parable of money usage, my Bible says.
While they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell a parable. Why? Because he was near Jerusalem, and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. Notice that. He was explaining a principle to them here because of the state of their hearts. They had ideas in their minds. They thought that the kingdom of God will appear immediately. So for that reason, he began to teach them about how to position yourself for the kingdom of God. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, he said, please, what I said just now, I want you to notice very well. He told them this parable because they were expecting the kingdom of God. And he was teaching them how to position yourself for the coming of the kingdom. Do you understand? So now he began to speak. He said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. There were 10 slaves and there were 10 units of money, 10 minas, meaning each person got one. Do you understand? It's a different parable from the one that may come to mind. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. Now, he said, when he returned after receiving the kingdom, so he came back having received the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared, saying, master, your mina has made 10 minas more. That is, the one you gave me have multiplied it 10 times. And the master said, well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are going to be in authority over 10 cities. Now, to save time, I will jump the next five fellow. That is the guy who made five. And then another guy came and said that your mina is one, you gave it to me, I kept it, and I've returned it to you because of the kind of person that you are. I'm not going to deal about with that guy much, so I won't read the whole story. Now, verse 24, he now said that, take the one from the guy who didn't know how to use it, I'm paraphrasing, and give to the one who has 10. They said, master, he has 10 already. He said, listen, this is the way it works. To him that has, more shall be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. This is the truth. This is a principle of the kingdom that Jesus taught these people because they were expecting the kingdom to come. Now, please get this point. Number one, when he gave them the minas, when he gave them the money to go and use, please bear in mind that they did not know why. I mean, they had the wrong impression of why he was giving them the money. Do you understand? Because the other guy said, listen, I didn't want to lose your money. You and money self. Are you getting my point? This man likes money too much. This one that he's gone. He cannot even put the business on hold. He said, we'll still be working. Now, the first fellow showed his diligence and his commitment to the master and his ability by multiplying it 10 times. This is the point I want you to understand. He also did not know that the master, all right, was testing them. He just did what came to him naturally. Do you get my point? He was not planning to rule over 10 cities. He was just working diligently. Now, was the master looking for more money? The fact is that he wasn't. He was testing his servants so as to know which position they will be able to occupy in his kingdom when he comes. Do you get the point? He was testing them. He wasn't interested in their money. If you see the response all the time, it was not, good, more money for us, keep it on this side. He said, good and faithful servant, you will be in charge of 10 cities. Good and faithful fellow, you will be in charge of 5. That is, the money was to test their ability to handle bigger things. And he that is faithful in little, the Bible says, will also be faithful. Jesus was speaking in much. Now, please, guess what I'm trying to say. This is the reason why I read all of this. Because for a long time, I used to wonder, because you see, people talk about principles of the kingdom, envision, you know, pray, ask God, do this and do that. Then we also preach that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above what you can ask or what even think about or imagine. As okay, how do you reconcile the two? This is a summary of it. Number one, when it comes to destiny, there is nothing you can do about it. When I say destiny, where God plans to take you to, you can't consciously, listen to this, you cannot even consciously pray about it. Oh, what are you talking about?
Let me explain. Let me ask you a simple question. When did David ever infer in all his writings and stories about him that he prayed about becoming a king in Israel? Not one day. But one thing you are sure of is that when you gave David two sheep, male and female, at the end of a year, they became five. You could be sure of that. How do I know? Because you see David literally laid down his life for those sheep. The day he fought a lion, he had nothing. Look, he didn't wake up in the morning and say, today, let us show our faith. Let's jump to a lion's den. It was lion that looked for trouble. Lion came to pick his sheep. The man didn't go to kill a lion or a bear. He went to free the sheep that they took. And then when they turned upon him, he had no choice than to defend himself. It's called self-defense. The man, listen, he never went out. You know, I preached to you before that. David did that because he was a small boy. You understand what I'm saying? That is his zeal. Eh? The zeal of youth was what was manifested as a result of his love for his sheep. That he was like, my sheep. He forgot the lion. My sheep. He ran after the sheep, collected the sheep. Then one lion came after him. He said, waiting. Is the sheep your own? Okay. So he faced the lion. Do you get my point? He did not wake up that morning trying to fight lion. And in the same manner, he never woke up, he never prayed that one day, God, please let me see Goliath and let me kill him. Then let Saul notice him. I know, Lord, I forgot to mention, this must be after Samuel has come to our house. You get the point? No, he never thought about that. He was just doing his job, what? Diligently. And that's what God was teaching the people. They were waiting for the kingdom. You know, like waiting for the kingdom. Say why? He said, before the kingdom comes there, the last 1 month, and I pray and fast. You know. So you will know we are ready. We could be ready like this. You know, you heard me say this. I said, if they tell me authentic, that is authentic information that Jesus is coming next week, what will I do the rest of this week? You see, this is the way it is. Whatever I was supposed to do on Monday, I will do. He said, but Jesus is coming the following week. Well, if what I was doing on Monday was not in keeping with the fact that Jesus is coming the following week, then I better change whether he's coming or not. Do you get my point? There was a way I taught myself many years ago. As let us assume now they gave me authentic information that Pastor Banky, put your house in order because in 6 months you shall die and not live. And I said, Lord, let's assume I beseech the Lord 3 times. You know, is it beseech? Or, you know, besought. Okay, let's assume I beseech the Lord 3 times about it. And he says, don't even talk to me about this matter. I said, what will I do? I said, all right, you know what I'm going to do? For your information, whether you like it or not, I will be preaching to myself every day. Now, this point I'm making, let me be realistic about it. I said, everything I know, I will start writing. I will teach. Then when I finished telling myself, I said, okay, now that they have not told you that you are going to die, why don't you start teaching and teaching? Lest God uses you are going to die to make you teach. I said, it's risky. Back here. You better start teaching. Now, boy, now, that was the thing that I started preaching on Saturday. You know, things like that. Next, I see Monday evening. We had and join. Get computer, sit down. Write. Every opportunity, preach. I'm so happy that we have almost 300 messages in these few years I've been doing this thing. Well cataloged, digitally archived. I feel so happy about it. You heard me say something a few days ago, a few meetings ago, that when this man died, Oswald Chambers, he was 43 years old. And he died having written only one book. But he had preached so much. And God had arranged for him to marry a wife that was very good with shorthand, that she had written down almost everything he had preached. So by the time he died, God didn't lose anything. They compiled all his books. He has fat volume. He has maybe almost 30 books. I have the complete collection. Are you getting my point? Now, what am I trying to explain here? That you see, one really can't plan for destiny. That's the point I'm making. That what you can just plan for, let's get back to David. I'm not going to tell you the difference between the reigning over cities and multiplying minas. What God was going to use David for, he never knew. But what he did with the sheep, get my point, that qualified him for becoming a ruler in Israel. Do you get the point? Listen, once God gives you a talent, a gift, an anointing, all you can do is what is within your imagination to do. And for that, you will use all the spiritual principles you know. Do you get my point? Now, with that, you will get results within the limits of your imagination. Now, based upon the amount of results you got within the limits of your imagination, God decides where he will put you outside your imagination. That's why he's able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all that you can ask or even think about. Do you get the point I'm making? That's the difference between destiny and preparation for destiny. Everything you see today as a young man, as a young woman, is preparation for destiny. If no matter how, that's why listen, that, hey, I should have known, I should have gone to the stock market. Listen to me, it has nothing to do with eternity. The amount of money you have made up till now has nothing to do with your destiny. It is your faithfulness in what you have been given to do now. Do you get the point I'm making? So I say, hey, that time, my friend went into this realm of business. Now he's a millionaire. So, how has that made you more effective in your own business, in your own work, in your own teaching, in your own ministry? Nothing. Because the amount of money he has now is not what will determine where he will be tomorrow, but how much he has multiplied the gift that God placed in his hands. That's what we're talking about. Are you getting my point? So please don't be carried away. What I'm saying this is that when you're talking about creative power, I am going to teach principles that are within the limit. Let me put it like this. I am going to teach principles that you can only operate within the limits of your imagination, because that is the only place where God requires it of you. Do you get the point I'm making? So the young boy or young girl that's teaching nursery school students, because you will see, when we're talking about the law of faith, we said, if you can believe, it's not about struggle. It's not how long you spend lying down. Now, listen, let me say this to you again. It's not how long you spend meditating alone that makes you able to believe. I have a dog in my house. No matter how many messages we play in his ears, he won't talk. You know why? It's basically a dog. And one thing I like about foreign breed is a German Shepherd, you know. From time I used to like them because most other dogs, local breeds, there are things they can't do. Like, maybe I come down from work now, or I come back home, I drive into the compound, and I sit in the car, I don't come down. The dog will wait outside. After a while, it will climb the car and start looking over at the window like, oh boy, are you not coming down? I never taught it to do that. It's in the blood. It is because it knows that once I come back, I will open the car door. Then you throw his head into the car, want to enter the car, you know the way they behave, you know. But if I don't open the door, the guy will raise two legs, put out one like, are you not coming down? What's happening? You know, yeah, you get my point. What am I trying to say? It's just in him. It will never talk, never. It will never get angry. That's another thing. It doesn't have the ability to get angry. If you see what my little boy does to this dog, one day he gave the dog a slap, the dog shouted. I'm not joking. The dog moved back. Oh, what? The dog went, started sneezing. But he never get angry. You know why? Anger is not in his blood. If he sees a stranger that has never offended him, he can bite you. Now, I'm trying to bring out the principle here. No matter how much talk you talk to that dog, he no go talk. Why? He does. It's not in the blood. In the same manner, no matter if God, Bible says that thou hast formed my inward parts. I will give thanks to thee because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Let me explain this to you. If God makes you in a particular way, no matter how hard you try, there are certain things you can't conceive. Look, It's a matter of fact. So for you to have an ability to conceive certain matters, it should give you an indication of where God is taking you. Listen, and the fact that you have not conceived certain things does not mean you are not qualifying for eternal destiny. Do you get my point? No, I started by saying that, look, you give a young boy, a young girl, teach these primary school children. Stop trying to imagine developing Microsoft, the third operating system, if you can't. Don't let covetousness give you new visions. Into your hand, these sheep have been committed. How do I train them up for God? How do I lead them in the path of righteousness? How do I instill godliness into them? How do I teach them the basic fundamental things about learning in life? Then start having ideas. Next thing you know, you are writing books that nobody with all the childhood psychology they've learned all over the world can surpass. They will say a child has dyslexia. They will give that child to you. You will teach the child how to read and to write. People will say, can we find a man as wise and as discreet as thou art, seeing that in you lies the spirit of the gods? That this guy, he said, a child has dyslexia. He said, because Amaka has never taught the child. There's no child with dyslexia that this girl can't teach. Do you get the point? That's how God does it. A lot of people are going somewhere saying, let me incubate. I want to be under Bill Gates. God said, listen, wealth is not to the discerning. I give you something, you use the creative power. That's where I'm going to. You will use it on what I have given you. You don't use it for what I have not given you. I give you children to teach. Don't be a thief. Envying the people who are earning $1 million a month. Listen to this clearly. It does not in any way reflect where they are going in life. I told you before, the day my mom and I were talking, and she said, it's because, you know, that land, your mates are building houses. I told her, how many of my mates are doing what I'm doing? I said, by the way, is it the first person to build a house that builds the best or the finest one? She laughed. She said, it is true. And began to tell me stories to confirm what I learned by revelation from the word of God. Are you getting the point I'm making? This is the way it works. So there is something that God has given to you. There is your own one mina. God says, occupy with this. Are you getting my point? Use this one till I come. Don't look for another man's own. I didn't make you a software developer. Just because Bill Gates is the richest man in the world, you're looking for a job in a software company. Are you getting my point? I have not made you a businessman. Listen, God has made me a teacher. That is why I teach voraciously. You hear what I said? I teach voraciously. I'm always trying to teach. I still remember very well before I got married. When nobody would ask me to come and teach, then one day, one young woman mistakenly agreed to marry me. All right now. I use that for my platform. Sit down there. Let me teach you. It's in my blood. I told you last time that, this is the kind of car we drive. I said, what are you going to do to get it? I said, simple. I teach some more. He said, so you get a rich man to teach you? What nonsense. I will get only a pulpit. Turn my back. Close the door. Nobody's around. I will teach hard. Put it on CD. You know why? I'm doing it as unto the Lord. And say, God, and they'll say, I done the work for 1 year now. Give me December benefit. Say, what would you like? A Land Cruiser is good. Please, I hope you're getting the point I'm making. I hope you got my principle. I will continue from here next time, but I have to stop now because of our time. Are you getting the point? Let me end it here. But please, what have I said today? Don't forget, one, you're not an average man. You're not an average woman. What happens to everybody is not your business. There is what the Bible calls the resurrection power. That is the power of creation. The power to create something out of that which was dead. Do you get my point? That is number one. Then the second most important thing which I brought out today is the fact that there is a talent that has been given to you. That's what we are going to use your power on. Then based on how you got results from that power, God now lifts you into destiny. Where God will take you to, just like David entering into the throne in Israel, Joseph, the throne in Egypt, even Isaiah preaching to the whole world, like Paul himself, preaching to a few people, but now becoming the most popular preacher we know on the earth, that is left for God to do. It's not within your powers. You can't scheme it, you can't dream it, you can't imagine it. But what God has given you, use your dreams, your imagination, and your powers to work on it. And then God will judge you, that is, reward you accordingly, and place you into the place of destiny. I hope you got the point. We'll continue from there next time. Let's begin to pray.